And good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW. In Sitka, joining me in the studio, Bonnie Sue Hitchcock, former Alaska Public Radio reporter, former Raven Radio reporter, and new author of a young adult novel, The Smell of Other People's Houses. Welcome to Morning Edition, Bonnie Sue.
Hi, Melissa.
Well, you are on a worldwide tour of your novel. Where are you headed?
Actually, I'm on an Alaska tour, which for me is the whole world. That's all I care about. So yeah, I'm starting here in Sitka. Book is released tomorrow. And then I go to Juneau, and I go to Anchorage and Palmer, and I get to do a Q&A with Eowyn Ivey, who wrote The Snow Child in Palmer. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, an Alaska tour is a very appropriate tour because the subject of your book is growing up in Alaska.
It is, yeah. And I'm thrilled that I get to actually launch the book in Alaska and spend time with people. One of the big themes of the book is family. And that is a thread that runs through all of the stories. There are four alternating stories of people growing up in this place, two in Southeast, two in the interior, and they alternate voices. But when I started talking to my publishers about, you know, the book launch, I just said, can I just go home? And I would really like to go to Sitka because I consider this place, you know, home and the people here family. So actually, I do have family here.
Home and
who?
Home.
I won't talk about them, though.
Home and family are two such strong, strong themes that hold the book together like glue. And narrators trying to understand their relationship to home and their relationship to family. And how do our histories affect our definition of self and how we envision our futures? And a lot of people have wondered, you know, so how much of these stories are you drawing from your own life experiences? Or are you drawing from observations about the world?
You know, and by the way, that was a pretty good description. You read the book closely, I think. I think both of those things are run throughout the book. I grew up in Fairbanks. Well, I grew up in Fairbanks and Anchorage, but my mom's family grew up in Fairbanks. And the book is set in 1970 when my aunts and uncles were teenagers. And we lived every summer with them in, they lived in Birch Park, which was military housing and then became like low income housing. And that really shaped the book a lot. And I should back up, like I kind of had left Alaska for the first time when I started writing the book. And I was really homesick. And I think that is when I started tapping into all these old memories. You know, not just my time in Sitka, which was more recent, but really going back to my childhood and my time spent with my family. So a lot of it, it's all fiction. So especially the chapters that take place on a fishing boat, my daughter's like, make sure you tell people that's fiction. So I did use some things from like my kids' lives, my life, my mom's, you know, life. And then a lot of details from being a reporter for so long. You know, I met really interesting people with really interesting stories. And I think it all just, it's all in there. You know, it's all part of the book.
The Smell of Other People's Houses, very intriguing title. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, actually, that was just a friend and I get together and write a lot. We just throw out a prompt and she said, hey, let's write for 20 minutes about the smell of other people's houses. And that was just, you know, it spurred all these memories, as it does for a lot of people, I think. I mean, some people are really repulsed by the title, I have to say. You know, it just depends on whatever the word smell evokes for you, I guess. But most people will say, oh, that's really true. I know, you know, this person's house or that person's house. And so the title chapter comes direct, you know, not directly, I should say. That would be really incriminating. But part of it starts out from like my high school days and my boyfriend in his house that was really strongly smelled of cedar. And then it turns very fiction. I just need to put that out there.
What was that like for you, switching gears from being a reporter and writing in that kind of style to being a novelist?
It was really fun at first. It was really fun to like be able to just play with this world and not constantly have to like have attributions and double check and make sure that this source was correct. It took me a little while too. Like I kept trying, I'd Google, you know, 1970s, what was on the street in Fairbanks at that time. And then slowly I loosened up and I was able to create my own world. But that really did take a while. And it was really fun. And the book originally was a collection of short stories. That's how I pitched it. That's how I wrote it. I thought they would just be linked short stories. And then after it sold, I had two different editors, one in London at Faber and Faber, and then one in the US, and they were working together. And then it became much more like journalism again, like a lot of edits, a lot of revisions, a lot of total rewrites. And also just me giving up the idea that these are short stories and now I have to make it a long narrative. And that was probably the most challenging part for me.
Well, there is a cohesive whole that evolves over the course of the novel until you're like, you're reading, you're like, oh,
it's difficult.
Right. there's a really concrete connection among all these characters. And you had to develop that after you got a book deal.
Absolutely. It started out as a murder mystery. That was a short story. Every story was connected just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. And in the end, it became a much different story. And they wouldn't let me kill anybody, which was sad.
Well, I mean, so you're talking about what you might have lost from going in this direction. What do you think you gained?
I think I gained much more than I lost. And I really believe that you should trust your editors because I had amazing editors through this process. And I realized I'm totally new to this. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to really trust their knowledge and, you know, their years and years and years of experience. And that was really helpful. I gained a huge appreciation for you know, the revision process. And I don't know yet. It's still pretty new for me. It was a really long two-year process. So the book comes out tomorrow and it's just been a long 2 years, and it's just really, really great to be back here to see how I really want to see how Alaskans receive the book. That's really important to me. It felt like a huge responsibility setting it in this place. So,
well, the narrators are teens.
They are.
What else makes this a young adult novel?
That's a really good question. I mean, I feel like I should know the answer. I went back after I left Raven and I got an MFA in writing for children and young adults. And I think the other thing that makes it a young adult novel, and I probably wouldn't have said this at the beginning of the process, but I think that the book ends on a hopeful note. And I think my editors really instilled in me that, you know, there's enough hopelessness in the world. So if we could heighten the hope in the book, that would be really great. I had to take out a few plane crashes.
Well, I mean, you do deal with some really tough subject matter.
I do. Yeah.
Did you think while you were writing about it? Were you thinking about your audience, keeping that in mind, or did you just allow yourself to write?
I did both. That's a good question, but I think I did both. I mean, I wrote the story that was in my head, and there is one character who's Inupiaq who has a pretty difficult life, and she is really based on somebody that I knew and reported on, and I felt like the actual person that I reported on never really had a voice or resolution for her life. And I really wanted to give her that. And she's really happy with it. But it's a really difficult story. And I don't want to do any spoiler alerts, so I can't really say more than that at this point. But you can call me later and ask me.
It's a really difficult story, but it does end with a lot of hope at the end.
It does. And this character, and her name is Dora. She's one of the main characters. And I feel like she really finds her voice, which it's weird to be proud of a character that you create fictionally, but I felt like she just got some hope and some resolution in her life, and that made me really happy.
It's so just really interesting how journalism does connect pretty concretely in a sense to your fictional work and that it's so informed by it.
It really does.
And that the voices you're channeling are, they're not just fictional voices. They are taken from so many individuals with lived experience.
I think the cool thing about it, though, writing fiction, is that the issues are real, but the characters are fiction. And as a journalist, you know, I was constantly thinking about how these people's lives are being represented in the press. And, you know, I have a hand in that. And that was a huge responsibility. And with a fictional character, it's just a fictional character. And you can dig deeper into the subject matter. So that was a pretty great realization that I could almost be more truthful writing fiction. And so
it gives you an opportunity to explore these issues and these stories, maybe with more depth and breadth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although I do, I really miss journalism. I really miss being sitting where you're sitting right now instead of over here.
Well, I mean, could you conceivably do both?
I could conceivably do both. I could read the lunch menu for you today.
Do you think you have another book in you?
I don't know. I've started working on something, but I don't really, you know, and I actually talked to Lori Townsend the other day, and I was telling her, I think I want to set it nowhere. Like, you know, the responsibility of setting something in Alaska and the heaviness of, you know, this, for me, the responsibility of that was really, yeah, that was a lot to carry. And it would be fun to try to write something that's just, the place isn't such a huge character.
I was thinking that while I was reading your book, what an enormous responsibility it is when you are so definitely placing stories within this cultural and, you know, this context, to really be thinking about that. And there must be some fear around, well, did I do this right? Did I do it justice? What are people going to think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. But there was, as a journalist, too. I mean, every day I felt like, yeah, did I do a good job, you know? And I it's no different. It's whatever you do.
It's whatever you do.
Whatever you do. Did I do that well? So it's up to the reader to decide now. And I'm good if they think no. So it's okay.
And all we can do is strive. Yeah. So let's talk briefly about where people can hear you and hear more about the book. You're going to be doing Writer's Read tomorrow in Sitka, 6 p.m. at Old Herbert Books, correct?
Right. Yes, correct.
Okay. Any other appearances?
Not in Sitka. But yeah, not in Sitka. So we're only in Sitka here, right?
We're around the region.
I'll be in Juneau. I will be in Juneau, on the next day. I've lost track of time. So the 24th, I'll be in Juneau. I'm going to, a middle school to talk to some teens, which will be fun. And I'll be on K2, and there's a reading at the Nugget Mall, Hearthside Books.
Wonderful.
So,
well, congratulations on your first.
Thanks,
first
Melissa.
Book,
thanks for having me back in the studio.
It's great to have you back here.
It's gorgeous here. It's different than when I was here.
Well, thanks for joining us. We've been speaking with author Bonnie Sue Hitchcock about her new young adult novel, The Smell of Other People's Houses. You can catch her tomorrow in Sitka, 6 p.m. Writer's Read at Old Harbor Books, and then she'll be in Juneau and then a number of other places in the state.